Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson. It's about the survival of faith, family, and freedom. It's about the future. He's a father of five, and he's committed to preserving a legacy for the next generation. Here's Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five. And Dave Buhner, also in studio, father of five. Dave's son, Derek, in studio with us today. And, folks, we're going to talk today about the Christian right. The Christian right. The fascists, so defined by Chris Hedges, who has written the book American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War in America. Chris Hedges, a former New York Times reporter, he's got this new book out called American Fascists, and it's his two-year investigation of the Christian right. Apparently he went underground and he figured out what was going on with the Christian right. You know, Dave, he never made it into our studio, though. I was kind of disappointed, you know. I didn't see I did a search on his website for Kevin Swanson and Generations. Did not appear anywhere there. Hedges compares the Christian right to the early fascist movement in Italy and Germany, argues that the movement's goal is for America to become a theocratic, totalitarian country. He's been to several places to learn about this movement, including a meeting of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, an evangelism explosion, that's D. James Kennedy thing, and Love One Out Conference, sponsored by James Dobson's Focus on the Family, and also a creation museum in Kentucky. And, Dave, of course, that would be our friend Ken Ham. So he has investigated Dobson, Kennedy, and Ham, has concluded that we are part of what he calls the American fascist movement. Christian fundamentalists now hold a majority of seats in 36% of all Republican Party state committees, or 18 of 50 states, along with large minorities in 81% of the rest of the states. 45 senators, 186 members of the House of Representatives earned between 80 to 100% approval rating from three most influential Christian right advocacy groups, the Christian Coalition, Eagle Forum, and Family Research Council, etc., etc., etc. We went back onto the web and found MotherJones.com, and MotherJones.com is another one of the religious left, and they have what they call the expanding universe of the religious rights orbits of influence, and right smack in the middle is Focus on the Family and Chalcedon Foundation, and it's kind of funny because the Chalcedon Foundation is Mark Rushdoony and maybe a mimeograph machine or a copy machine, and maybe one or two, maybe his wife is helping out with the operation, but these guys are afraid of operations that may run a couple hundred grand. But what they're afraid of is their influence, the influence of their ideas, and the fact that these things did not exist prior to about 1960. You see, what's happening is people who take the Bible seriously are coming out and defining themselves and establishing organizations. None of these organizations existed prior to, say, 1960. Chalcedon was probably 1965. Focus on the Family, they've got that right in the center of the thing. James Dobson, they're very afraid of James Dobson. And he probably started this thing back in 1975, 78 maybe. Coral Ridge Ministries, D. James Kennedy, he was preaching for the first time in the early 1970s. Most of these organizations, most of these Christian right movements were established after 1960, because at that point, Christians began to redefine themselves and said, you know, we're going to start believing the Bible. Instead of compromising our faith from the very first verse, we're going to believe that when God said he created the world in six 24-hour days, we're just going to believe that. And when God says, you're going to live your life according to my law, we're going to accept that. And, you know, the humanists can't stand that.
You got to just laugh at this. There's one creation museum, one little tiny privately funded museum, a tiny little speck on the map, competing with what?
Tax-supported
of thousands and thousands of tax-supported museums of natural history, of natural science, of the National Geographic magazine, of public schools, and this one little museum is a threat.
Yeah, and they're afraid of it. It's all part of the rising fascist movement. Dave, why is the left, why is the anti-God, atheistic, agnostic, evolutionary force so incredibly afraid of us? Could it be that a couple of three, four guys who speak the truth in the middle of 4 billion is a scary thing? I think darkness is always afraid of light, Dave. Even if they are armed with $14 billion and the rest of us are running around with a couple of $100,000, they're afraid of us. They really are. This guy, we listened to Chris Hedges on the J. Marvin show up at the People's Republic of Boulder here in Colorado. Chris Hedges, the guy who wrote this book, American Fascist, the Christian Right is Taking Over, Be Careful, Run for the Hills. That guy was interviewed. He is really afraid of what we're going to do.
Well, and he should be, because light always conquers darkness. Darkness never conquers light. And if the light of the truth of the gospel actually has some ability to shine into the darkness will fade. The darkness will be defeated. And Chris Hedges represents a different religion. And his religion is false. I mean, let's just say it's a false religion, and he can abide in his false religion. He can abide in his abominations as long as the truth is not present.
Yeah, he's got this comment on his website, Theocracy Watch. The Christian right has fought successfully to have creationist books sold in national park bookstores in the Grand Canyon, taught as a theory in public schools, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, why
et cetera.
Did he fear that we would have books published? Because the kids in the public schools can't even read them.
They make that one book. There was actually one book sold against the tens of thousands and thousands of books that are sold everywhere that's got billions of years in just about every other line and paragraph, and science books and National Geographic magazines and museums and national parks. Evolution is pretty much 99.999% of the content, and this guy's concerned about one little book that edged its way into the national park down in the Grand Canyon bookstore, and he's freaking out over it.
Because he's very religious, and he cannot abide heresy.
Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we're going to look at Theocracy Watch and American Fascists. Is James Dobson and D. James Kennedy, are these guys fascists? We'll be back in just a moment. My name is Kevin Swanson. We're back on Generations. Kevin Swanson here, Mike Side with you. Also, Dave Buhner, exchanging conversation on the topic of American fascists. Are James Dobson, D. James Kennedy, Ken Ham, American fascist, Chris Hedges, former New York Times reporter, sure thinks so. He wrote the book on it. And, you know, Dave, from what I can tell, Chris is very upset about George W. Bush. He says George W. Bush was elected as president by a lot of the great fundamentalist Christian conspiracy rightists out there. And, you know, I still got to ask the question. All right, so we've got a president, a Republican president. Exactly how much did President Bush do for the cause of righteousness and liberty? And I've asked that question before. Roughly how many babies have been saved from abortion? Obviously, Chris Hedges wants as many kids aborted as possible. That's the dream of the left. But how many babies have been saved because of policy signed by George W. Bush? All right, so we got the partial birth abortion ban. Well, you can kill a baby like 28 other ways. I mean, come on, Chris. You can still kill your babies. Exactly what did George W. Bush and the great right-wing's conspiracy do against your agenda in the last 4 to 6 years? And how much federal Planned Parenthood funding was stopped? Absolutely none. What? None whatsoever. And hey, we still have absolute control of public schools. We have more and more control on the federal level. The federal government has increased the size of the National Department of Education by a factor of about 200% in the last 6 to 8 years. You got to be really pleased about that. And how strongly did Bush come out against homosexuality, Dave? I don't remember that George W. Bush came out against homosexuality much at all. We didn't get any federal marriage amendment through. None of that happened. So exactly what did the homosexuals lose? We didn't have homosexual marriages back in 1970. Surely the homosexuals should be excited about the progress they've been making towards a homosexual nation. We didn't have weird sex surveys and mandated homosexual indoctrination in California schools in the 1960s. We do now. So shouldn't Chris be kind of excited about all this? I mean, why is he so upset? I don't understand it, Dave. Why is he so upset about George W. Bush and the takeover of the Republicans? Well, as far as I can tell, the homosexuals have made a tremendous amount of progress in the last 10 years. But at the same time, he increased domestic spending by an incredible amount, way more than Clinton could have ever dreamed of doing. So I'm not sure I'd be upset if I was Chris Hedges. Anyway, one of the things you are seeing, though, as I mentioned before, is you've got
Christians beginning to really get down to what the Bible says, and people like us, Dave, we just crack the Bible and says, you know what, maybe we don't want to agree with Karl Marx and Nietzsche and Margaret Sanger and all the humanists that have been writing and influencing society for the last 200 years. Maybe we don't want to find our ethics from these guys. Let's go into the Bible and define our worldview, our ethics from the Bible. And this really bugs guys like Chris Hedges. And Dave, let's face it, we're seeing more polarization than we saw in the 1940s and 50s. Yes, America is splitting right down the middle. And excuse me, there probably aren't as many good guys as there are bad guys today. Obviously, we've got a huge growth in abortion and homosexuality and a growth in government just over the last, 30, 40 years. I mean, we continue to see a massive growth in tyranny and in immorality across this nation. Certainly more children born without fathers. That should delight guys like Chris Hedges. You know, Dave, think about it. 37% of babies born without fathers today, up from 5-6% in the 1960s. Chris Hedges should be utterly delighted to see this sort of thing, the decline of morality and the increase in tyranny in America. Well, we're certainly seeing polarization. There are those who absolutely love homosexuality, evolution, even incest in many of the public universities today. And, of course, teaching children how to do these things in state-funded schools. I mean, that's the agenda of the left, and that's what's happening. And guys like me who don't like that kind of thing. Hey, there's a polarization here. Isn't that obvious, Dave? There are guys who love homosexuality, incest, and teaching kids in public school about these sorts of things. And then there are guys like me who don't like these sorts of things. I mean, obviously, I like the book of Leviticus. Leviticus says that incest is a really bad thing and that homosexuality is a bad thing. But and there are guys now that are reading Leviticus and saying, hey, the Bible's relevant to issues like this. So, and then there are guys who say, hey, the Bible's not relevant, and we're going to go ahead and embrace all this immorality and the growth in tyranny. And so now in the postmodern age, what you have are people actually believe the Bible. We call these people fundamentalists. And they really irritate. They bug the humanist fundamentalists who take for granted their worldview. That's usually Marxist or existentialist or maybe pure relativism, which gives up their right to be dogmatic about anything. But they still want to retain it anyway, their right to be dogmatic. But anyway, so you got these guys who are fundamentalists in their humanist thinking. And so nowadays you've got three forms of fundamentalism. You've got Christian fundamentalists, and the humanist fundamentalists are afraid of Christian fundamentalists because they think that the Christian fundamentalists might take over the government and strip back government power. And everybody knows that government belongs to big government socialists and humanists. So you've got Christian fundamentalists who are not happy with humanist fundamentalists who have access to power because humanist fundamentalists have done some really nasty things with power. I mean, Dave, think about it. Think about what really committed humanists like Hitler and Stalin and Lenin and Pol Pot and these sorts of guys have done with power over the last 100 years. Kind of a bad record, wouldn't you say, Dave? I mean, a couple hundred million people dead. We're a little nervous about humanist fundamentalists getting control of power, like guys like Chris Hedges. Now, okay, so we've got humanist fundamentalists that are very, very nervous around Christian fundamentalists, and Christian fundamentalists that are very, very nervous around humanist fundamentalists. Now enter the Muslim fundamentalists. And Dave, guess what? The Christian fundamentalists and the humanist fundamentalists are afraid of the Muslim fundamentalists who actually take the Quran seriously because of that little jihad thing that they've got. All right, so yes, we've got polarization in our society today, my friends. But let's ask the question. I want to move on here with something else Chris Hedges has said. He is calling us fascists. He's calling James Dobson and D. James Kennedy fascists. Now, Dave, let's define fascism. Fascism was defined originally by Mussolini. And I think everybody out there would agree that Mussolini was a fascist. He called himself a fascist. He said he was a fascist. And he defined fascism. Dave, here's a direct quote from Mussolini. This is the Italian, remember back, one of the Axis powers during World War II. Mussolini defined fascism this way, folks. The fascist conception of life stresses the importance of the state and accepts the individual only insofar as his interests coincide with those of the state, which stands for the conscience of the universal will of man as a historic entity. The fascist conception of the state is all-embracing. Outside of it, no human or spiritual values can exist, much less have value. I thought I was reading the Democratic Party platform there for a moment. The importance of the state accepts the individual only insofar as his interests coincide with those of the state. This sounds like the guys who outlawed homeschooling out in Germany, who said, hey, homeschooling isn't done for the interest of the state, therefore we're going to outlaw it. You know what's interesting is liberals love to twist words, and most of them don't know they're doing it. But Dave, this is what they're doing. What they're saying is that we're fascists, but in truth, they're the ones who are fascists. It's those that have increased the power of government for the last 100 years and increased the size of government, centralized government, and taken taxes to the point where now it's 50% of the GNI is sucked up in national, state, and local taxation. And Dave, this is exactly what we're against. What Mussolini is saying is the state is all embracing, and the state is all embracing to liberals. That's why Democrats are always fighting for more statism, more compulsory attendance laws, more womb-to-tomb security, more mandatory vaccinations. And Dave, how many programs have we aired concerns about state influence in every single part of our lives? And yet what you have are Democrats out there fighting for statism all the time. And now here's why they're scared. They're scared because we want to strip back the power of the state. And if that happens, Dave, they don't get total status control anymore. And they don't like that. See, that's their worldview. And they don't like us to strip back that sort of power. Now, we have a problem here, and I want to address this problem. The problem was brought up by our founders, so it's not my problem. It's a problem that's existed from the beginning of time.
Our fascist founders?
Our fascist founders, yes, those guys. And basically what they said is only a moral people can be a free people. Now, you need to follow me here. It was guys like Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin that would say either you'll be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. And I think it was Madison that said people who will not govern themselves by the Ten Commandments of God will be tyrannized. And, you know, so these guys understood something. They knew that you had to be moral if you were going to be free. And as you give up your morality, inevitably you're going to see government grow. Inevitably you're going to see the people tyrannized. Inevitably you'll see the tax rate go from 10% of the GNI to 50% of the GNI. This is precisely what has happened, folks, over the last 100 years. People have become increasingly immoral. The family has broken down. Yeah, we have 37% of children born without fathers. There's a lot of fornication out there. Hello. Therefore, the state grows, and we begin to develop the welfare nation, and we begin to see taxes grow, and regulative agencies everywhere regulating every single part of our lives. Well, now, government can encourage people not to be moral. Okay? I think that's true. What do you think, Dave?
I think you get more of what you subsidize. So if you subsidize immorality, you get more of it.
And government can do this sort of thing. If government pays for you to kill your kids, or if government provides special rights for homosexuals, then government will be encouraging homosexuality, and government will be encouraging people to kill their kids. And guess what happens, Dave, when you get a nation of people that are out there killing their kids? They don't love their kids much, and they wind up abusing their kids more, and you wind up with, guess what? More immorality. Dave, exactly what you said. You subsidize it, you get more of it. And that's precisely what is happening. So I think what we would say, Chris Hedges, is that we don't think government ought to be encouraging immorality. Because we like to be free. Chris, we would like to be free. Now, here's the other question. And Dave, this gets down to the real question today. Can government make people moral? And this may be the question Chris Hedges is concerned about. All right, so let's address this question today. Can governments make people moral? Well, I'm going to say that to the extent that the government occasionally imprisons a murderer, or better yet, hangs a murderer, exercise capital punishment against the murderer. And by the way, we go to the Word of God for that. Romans chapter 13 is very clear on it. Genesis 9 and verse 6, there's only one civil law legislated after Noah's flood. Just one. It was very simple. As you want to keep society together, Noah, you're going to have to do this. If a man should shed another man's blood, that is, if a man kills another man, by man should his blood be shed. It was a very simple, simple, simple statement made in Genesis 9, 6. The eternal truth from a God who knows a little bit more than Chris Hedges and Karl Marx and every other worldview advocate out there. God says, hey, capital punishment for the murder is a great idea. So, if we have an occasional capital punishment for a murderer down on Main Street, my guess is there's going to be a certain deterrent there. All right? Now, to that extent, yes, government can encourage morality. But I would also say that government can't solve all our problems for us. And I take the liberals to task for this, Dave, because liberals are out there saying, government's got to solve this, and government's got to solve that. Government's got to have public schools because we've got to educate all the masses. And government's got to take care of immunizations because we don't want people getting sick. And government's got... Dave, I don't think government can take care of all these things, and I don't think government can make everybody moral. So I'm not going to put government police in every bedroom across America. I'm not going to have the government dictating who we're going to have in our pulpits. And I don't think I'm going to have government controlling the church and the family. I'm not going to have the government instituting compulsory attendance laws in order for parents to do the right thing. I'm not going to have government establishing the spanking police, for example. Dave, what if you had a problem with immorality in the home such that kids were never disciplined and kids never grew up with strong character? I'm not going to institute the police, spanking police, Dave. I'm not going to do it. I don't think government solves that problem. I'm sorry, but if you have a bunch of undisciplined children running around, a bunch of brats running around in Safeway, government's not solving that problem for us. So see, I'm not a fascist. I don't trust in government. I am going to get on the air and encourage families to do the right thing and churches to do the right thing. And hopefully the civil magistrate from time to time will hang a murder. Hasn't happened in Colorado for 10 years. So it's rare that we actually get any justice out of the civil magistrate. I'm not sure what they're doing with 50% of the GNI, Dave. But for the most part, it's not justice, and it's not deterring any crime.
And it's not filling potholes, apparently, either.
No. Just about lost my suspension the other day in Elbert County because of that. Folks, it's vitally important that you teach your children a proper worldview and certainly the proper definition of terms. People throw around terms like fascism, socialism, right and left, and have no definition for it. Here's kind of a funny list of definitions using cows for all the isms out there, Dave. Socialism, you have two cows, the government nationalizes both cows but still allows you to sell the milk. Communism, you have two cows, the government takes both and gives you spoiled milk. Fascism, you have two cows, the government takes one away and presses it into military service. Nazism, you have two cows, the government takes both cows away and shoots you. Tribalism, you have two cows, your neighbors take both cows and shoot you. Anarchism, you have two cows, the cows shoot you and milk each other. And capitalism, you have two cows, you sell one and buy a bull. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a definition of the isms out there. And let me encourage you again to get some good resources on Worldview. We have them on our website. Just go to kevinswanson.com and click on store. You then go to Worldview. You need to buy some good Worldview resources. Make sure your children are well-schooled in Worldviews. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.